Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Pros Podcast. Episode 106, guys. Eth and Joe on the show today. I feel like, based on who's on the show, the audience knows what kind of show it's going to be. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you this. They know that they're going to get some good audio because Death, Taxes, and Brian's audio is sounding like shit. I don't know what's going on. This guy's got to get it figured out. It's driving me crazy.
He actually just got a new laptop too. So I thought maybe that would help things along. But
maybe it's hurting it because of the settings and everything like that. He doesn't know what he normally had, so I don't know if he's confused.
Yeah, Brian's not technologically savvy. Like, I'm not the most technologically savvy guy either.
I think out of all of us is Mike.
Oh, easily Mike.
Which is funny. Like, Joe works in broadcasting.
Yeah, but it's very niche. Like, it's
no
it's
excuse
very,
for you,
like,
Joe. That's true.
No. Hold on.
This guy's a master of the Chiron. He got, on TV and radio this week, Joe was like, they were double wristering him, saying, oh, this guy's the best in the business with the Chiron, which is like the graphic overlay.
Yeah, our banners and stuff like that. But it's very niche. It's like a certain program. Like, I could do stuff at work. It's just like other stuff, like, I don't touch. Like, I don't use. I don't do that. Like,
how?
Yeah, I'm ready to throw technology out the window.
You literally
work
every day on a computer. How do you do you not run into these little issues and stuff that you need to know how to resolve?
No, because I'm more of the producer. Like, I produce anything on the TV side. Like, the technical stuff is done by they're called pads. It's like an automated director. Like, they deal with all the technical stuff, like the audio, the video, the cameras, anything that wise, like, they deal with.
So you run into a problem and you call one of your pad boys?
Like, no, I'm in the same room as them. So it's me and the one person that are doing the show. When we do the show.
Crazy. It's crazy that I am the tech guy on this show.
Like you're the tech guy.
I taught myself all this.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm like, yeah, guys, do this or do that, and you're like, what am I doing? Especially with Brian. It's like,
well, Google Docs.
Brian works. Brian works under a car all day, so I get it.
Well, if we were under a hood, would we know what to do?
Not even a little bit.
You guys, I
know a little bit because of my dad, but
I work a lot with my hands, but you guys, like, I'm with two guys right here.
You're the tool guy, see?
Well, there you go. But the two guys, probably in, like, Ontario, no one is worse than you two with your hands. Like, nobody
can do
less. I'm talking about men here. I'm talking about men. I'm not talking about, like, kids and stuff.
I'm pretty bad.
No. I could do a lot more since I've been doing stuff at my place with my father-in-law. Like, I've done a lot more with my hands and stuff like that. But before, like, 2-3 years ago, totally right.
Well, like, you're Mike. You're 2-3 years ago, you're what Mike is right now. Like, Mike.
That's very true.
Yeah, Mike all of a sudden fast forward to 35.
If I need to put a hammer to a nail, we got problems.
There's going to be a hole in the drywall rather than a nail.
Tough, Mike.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to go on a crusade I don't know. Let's make, like, being a tech guy manly. How about that? Instead of this, you know, it's always like hard labor shit.
No.
You know what? I'm manly because I know how to operate Zoom and social networks.
No, yeah, what do I got to operate Zoom for?
No, the thing is, that's not manly because an 8-year-old kid can do it, right? Like, an 8-year-old kid can't go build a shed in his backyard.
Like, this is very true.
That's why they can't be made manly.
I joke, like, my nieces are probably better at certain things than I am on, let's say, the iPad or doing whatever. Like, they can control those things, like, better than some of us.
Yeah, sure. That's today's day and age.
Yep, that's for sure.
So, anyways, what we know we're going to get without Brian on the show is some quality hockey talk as well.
Yeah. Hey, don't, we can't smear Brian too much. He's, I think he's tied for first in his division. Mm-hmm. Probably not after this week, because I know he's getting his ass whooped. So, but yeah, I mean, he's up there. He's having a pretty good season. He's ahead of Joe.
Yeah, he's currently 12 points ahead of me. Okay. And I think that'll shrink a little bit. So it's not by much.
But look at the difference between the divisions. Joe's in fourth in the top division. Brian's tied for first in his.
Oh, when he goes up against guys like Lippa and Mare and...
How many people can we smear on this episode?
Yeah, well the bottom three don't really matter because they have no shot.
Well, I mean, like a guy like Dafina, you could say whatever you want about him because he doesn't even set his lineup. I'm pretty sure he's not listening to this.
I know.
And I don't know what Shubes' excuse is. He probably does listen the odd time, but then if you look at his team,
it's just bad owners.
Let us know. Yeah, guys, let us know how you feel about the owners in your league that just stop paying attention. Do you like not give a shit? Or do you wish that everyone would be competitive right until the end?
It's a tough balance, right? Because it's like you want those layup weeks, but then at the same time, it's like you want your league, you want the integrity of your league to stay intact.
But like,
right?
Okay, like I'll admit there's stuff that I used to do in our leagues that I have no shot in doing these days.
Like what?
Like looking ahead, looking at other matchups, looking at different scenarios. Like I just don't. I just basically worry about my lineup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have necessarily the time to do all that stuff anymore. Like, even pickups and stuff like that, I don't map it out even a week and ahead. Like, I don't do necessarily all the research that I should be doing anymore. Yeah. Just because of life and all that. But,
Oh, geez. Wait till you have more kids.
Oh, God. But I know.
You're right, Joe. But, it's something like, say, like last night, for example, before I went to bed, I'm like, okay, I got to make a pickup. It's Sunday today. And in our pool in particular, there's one goalie on waivers that's probably going to start today.
Sandstrom.
It's Sandstrom, right? Yeah. And before I picked him up, I looked at Ant's matchup and I went to see if Ant needed to pick him up. Because I was debating whether to pick him up or not, and I thought if Anth needs to pick him up and my waiver priority is better, I'll for sure put a claim in, right?
Yeah,
mine was one better, but I almost picked him up.
Yeah,
see, because I think Vegas is going back to back with Thompson today, so which would really screw me, but whatever. So I almost did. But yeah, stop trying to screw me, you dick.
It's things like that, no, right? Like, that you look
yeah,
at.
Yeah, but not even that. Like, it's just like there are I still do make my pickups and stuff. But there are some days where I look at my lineup and I'm like, shit, I didn't do this. Or in the morning, I'm like, damn, I was supposed to pick up a guy. Like, I just like the odd time I do. But there are guys that just like you have guys that have been injured for 2 weeks sitting on their bench.
Yes.
Or in their lineup, and then they have like they're like just hit. There's the best thing Yahoo invented is that button that says start lineup for week.
I know it's so easy. True.
Like but even if you might have, and then you just check your stuff in the morning, and then just see what Yahoo did. And if you have like a star player on your bench, just move them to the lineup.
I'm guilty of it too, though. Like it's happened to me on a few nights this season. Oh, right, and yeah. I'm in first place. Not a big deal, but I just. I've
running had, away three with times first, where, first place.
What?
You're oh, running away with yeah, first
I
place.
I got a bit of a lead there, but no, it happens where like you just I don't know you get busy with whatever's going on that day, and then you just realize, oh shit, like I made a pickup last night and I haven't been on today, and then oh, there's day games, and you realize you got two guys sitting on the like it happens.
My biggest pet peeve is the IR business. Like when you have someone on the IR that's not playing or that you can't take him off or you can't put him on because his team's game has already started. Yeah, and
it sucks. You got to stay on top of it. But yeah. One thing Yahoo has to fix is, and it screws a lot of people, it's like when you make a pickup or even like a drop, the rest of your lineup for the remaining days of the week or even onward get jumbled again. Yeah. They got to make it so like that doesn't change things when you make a pickup. Like, just know, put the guy why, you add why, right to the bench.
I don't know why that happens.
I don't
it,
know.
It will take guys that are in the starting lineup out.
Yeah, like, it's so stupid.
Like, I've seen it before. I made a pickup recently. I had Matthews, obviously in the next day, and then you drop a guy, you look at the next day, Matthews is on the bench. Like, why did you just take Matthews and put him on the bench?
Yeah, they gotta sort that out. All right, guys, fantasy players of the night.
Let's do it.
Last Sunday we had Cole Caulfield, goal and an assist, 2-1 win over the Rangers. Caulfield, as we know it now, season is come to an end. So he will finish.
The dignified tank is started in Montreal.
Absolutely. But Caulfield in particular, we talked about him a lot in our preseason episodes, but in 46 games this year, 26 goals, 36 points, solid year.
He is what he is, what he was advertised early on. Like he's coming out party this season. And I'm very interested to see what his contract is going to be like, his extension, when he does sign that.
Well, Montreal probably has his point total working for them because he was just going for the Cy Young with the 10 assists there. And so that will help them in terms of, trying to keep the number down a little bit. But 26 goals, he was on pace for, 45 or something? Maybe a little bit more? You never want to see a guy's season end like that.
No, not at all. I wanted to go back and listen to our preview episode because on like the this or that for Montreal, it was Caulfield will score 40 goals or Kirby Dach will get 50 points.
Both Dach happen.
Dach has 29 points right now, and mm-hmm. Caulfield has 26. So maybe after the episode, I'll go back and kind of see what we had said about that. Because at the time, Caulfield
both
40
would
goals.
Have happened. Yeah, and I mean, it's not going to happen for Caulfield, but.
Over under his contract, is it higher or lower than Suzuki? Suzuki's at 7.875.
When's Caulfield due to get paid?
He's up after this year.
Caulfield an RFA. He'll get like 9. They're going to get more than Suzuki for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he'll get 9's a big number though, man. How do you like Boldy just got 7x7?
Yeah.
He's their star winger.
Like he's going to be their goal. He's their He's their go-to guy offensively. I don't know how you don't give him like 26 goals in how many games?
46.
Yeah. I think it's at least 9.
I think it definitely has an 8 in it. Definitely. I think he's over Suzuki.
Well, we'll see.
I'm fascinated to see what his number is because of his situation.
Well, a really interesting one for me is Pasternak because, you look at all those guys on Boston, and they all took team-friendly deals. But Pasta, if you compare him around the league, this guy's got to get like 13 mil, which is sort of unheard of on Boston. You know what I mean? Maybe not 13, but up there. Definitely like 12.
Yeah, he should be up there with the McDavids, the McKinnons, the Matthews. And it's a interesting thing going on there because with Krejci and Berge, are they going to be back next year? I heard I think it was on Overdrive as well. Yeah, on Friday they were talking about the Bruins possibly interested in acquiring Horvat. Mm-hmm. And that's just, to set themselves up for future years because Krejci and Berge are moving on. And they'll have the space to do it, to re-sign him.
Yeah.
Screw Boston, man. Move aside.
I know. If they get Horvat.
It's going to be really interesting. Like, what happens in the playoffs and then the decisions next year. And then, because the Pasternak contract's not going to happen until the offseason.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you're right, actually. They did say it's very close.
I think it's going to come.
But why not wait?
But I think it's going to happen in season. And my guess is going to be, I don't know. I think it's going to come to either 11 or 11.5.
Oh, that would piss me off.
I think it's going to be 11, 11.5. I think it's just going to be a tad under Matthews for some reason.
That would piss me off. Matthews is 11.634.
Yeah, man.
Matthews is up what after next season?
He's after next season. Him and
Nylander are up after get, next like, season. Something stupid like 15 or some shit like that. Knowing the way the Leafs give up contracts, so
Well, I wonder what Nylander's going to get after these next few years.
Yeah.
Like this year especially, and then what? Depending what he does next year.
We are just, we're like, touching on all the fantasy players of the night here.
I know. Right. We're just talking gotcha.
You're right, we are. Okay, Pasternak, 2 goals and an assist Monday night. He's up to 35 goals, 63 points, which ranks 5th in the league. And Nylander, 52 yeah. points in 47 games. Exact same stat line as Matthews with a, 2 more games played. 24 goals, 28 assists. Both having amazing seasons. But quickly back to Pasternak. Do you think his value will go down next season if Bergeron and Krejci aren't there anymore? Like, as a in a keeper league, are you a little worried acquiring Pasternak this year based on what you're going to pay for him this season in a trade because, you know, like, there could be a bit of a step back next year?
That's a real good point because, like, he's one of the wingers, the few wingers in the game that can create on his own. However, I think the other guys are so good, especially Berge. Like, I know he's not necessarily to play with him a ton this year because they've done, you know, they've had him on the second line with Krejci. But those centermen kind of let Pasternak and Marchand do what they do up front because they're so good defensively. Mm-hmm. Right? They let them do it. So I wonder, like, it depends on who they bring in. Like, if they bring in a, like, let's say, for argument's sake, like a Bo Horvat type, I think if there's no, like, Horvat's a great two-way center.
Yeah.
And I think there's a very similar Horvat-Bergeron connection there, comparable, right? So it depends who they bring in, but there is a worry that depending on who that center is, because we have no idea who that center is.
Right.
Well, I mean, there will definitely be probably a bit of a regression next season. He's on pace for 115, which is 20 points more than his previous career high. So this is probably his career year here for Pasta. Mm-hmm. Right? And like it worked out for Petro in our pool because I was trying to go straight up with him, Connor for Pasta, which you know, actually Connor has had a little bit more value up until right now. Mm-hmm. So he actually didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I was talking to him earlier in the year with Shesterkin involved, and I was trying to do acrobatic moves there, and that didn't work out. So
just I gotta give it to Petch. I love having him in the league because he's like 180 from his cousin, so I love it. So Petch, if you're listening, well done buddy. Moving on to Wednesday night, Brady Tkachuk. He had a goal and 3 assists, 5-4 OT win. He had that game winner over Pittsburgh.
Top 10, baby.
47 points in 46 games. Yeah. I feel like we talk about this guy every week, but he brings it every night in some way, right? If he's not scoring, he's hitting. He's probably doing both, realistically. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, he is so valuable.
He's, I think, like, I didn't have him in my top 10. Joe was the only one that had him in his top 10 keeper players moving forward. Like, he's 100% would be in all our top 15s, right?
Yeah.
1,000%.
I think so.
Yeah.
Next, we had Scott Wedgwood. He had a 34-save shutout, a 4-0 win over LA. And then on Saturday, Ottinger had a 4-0 win over Arizona, 33-save shutout to give him Fantasy Players of the Night. So we had both Dallas Stars goalies. I mean, this Dallas team is... I don't want to toot my horn too much, but I did say that they were going to be right up there.
You did. You did.
Which was kind of a bold prediction. Just going to say. Yeah,
I didn't have Dallas. I can't even remember where I had them. But I didn't have them, I don't think, in the top three. I had them maybe fighting for a wild card, I think.
Do you have this? Any chance you could pull this out? Yeah. Because I'm really curious to know where I had them. I think you were probably on an island with your Dallas prediction there.
I have them somewhere. I want to make sure. Yeah, this is accurate. So, Joe, you had Dallas in the 6th spot, just in front of Chicago.
Even worse.
I had Dallas in 3rd. I did say I liked them a lot, but I couldn't put them in front of Colorado and Minnesota. So I had them in 3rd. Anth, you had Dallas where Joe had them in 6th.
That's tough.
And Brian totally did the same thing.
it totally changed during the season because I went and traded for Ottinger, right? Yes. So, the like, thing you could argue, like, he's one of your you can argue that he's one of the top, if not the top goalie. Going forward.
This is something. Okay, so we did our players. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. This week, we're going to do it. Our top 10 keeper goalies.
Yeah.
We're going to put those lists out because that's big. Joe, you're so right. Like, Ottinger.
Like he's teetering. Like, especially Shesterkin, the Rangers, but like.
Especially when you hear that, first of all, their prospect pool's loaded. I heard on 32 Thoughts podcast this week. I didn't do this research myself, so I can't get credit. But the Dallas Stars, and this is a few days old, so hopefully it's still the same. But regardless, their AHL team is first in the league. Their ECHL team is first in the league. So, like, they got a system there, and they're just churning out players. They have a lot of guys coming. Stankoven. Like I can't go through them all, but there's a lot of good guys.
And I would think Ben and Sagan are almost up on their deals too. Well, not maybe Sagan, but those guys, once those guys go off the contracts and like off the books and like, and they're finding ways to pay their guys, like Robertson's getting 7.75 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like they're just going to keep adding little nuggets there, right?
They got a team there, and Ottinger's a young and solid goalie, man.
Wow. Yeah, I actually did not know that. I feel embarrassed right now that I had them so low. Because they're leading the conference right now.
I think I had Pavelski as like not going to do anything this year kind of bust or something like that. One of my busts, or if not my bust, I was down on him again. I'm like, but like Mike says, we always doubt him. Or some of us always doubt him. And then he always keeps rolling it out.
Never doing it. And then our last one on Friday, we had Jake Guentzel. 2 goals, 1 assist, 4-0 win over Ottawa. A quiet 20 goals, 42 points in 41 games for Jake Guentzel. I think at some point, like, Guentzel's having a good year, but I think at some point, like, the Crosby Guentzel Rust line is going to go on an absolute tear. And really kind of push.
That playoff picture is interesting to me. Like, I think, well, in the East anyways, it's like kind of already.
Well, you're there. Seeing, like, I don't know. You're sort of seeing what we saw last year in the East. Remember how there were no playoff races with like 15 games left or something?
Yeah.
You're starting to see that same sort of thing happen. So I really hope that like Florida and the Islanders can keep up. Just so it gets.
They're really only 2 points back. No. They're only right 2 points back of Pittsburgh, but.
Yeah, right now you got your races, but it's still way too soon.
Like, are they? Yeah, and are they going to drop off? Like, really, realistically, I think the 8 that are in now are going to be the 8 that advance. That's my prediction.
Who does that leave out, Joe?
That leaves out Florida, Islanders, Buffalo. So Pittsburgh and Washington have the 2 wild cards. You have the Rangers, Devils, Canes in the Metro, and then you have the Leafs. Bruins, which,
correct me Tampa. If I'm wrong, is the same 8 as last year minus Florida and the Devils. You're switching Florida and New Jersey, and that's it.
Yes.
Like, wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And if Pittsburgh and Boston, if they meet in the first round, I have a weird sense.
This guy, of course you do.
I have a weird sense.
Of course you do. And then next year, sense that Boston misses the playoffs. And like
again, because Bergeron and Krejci leave. There you go.
No, man.
No. See, realist Joe is just going Leaf fan and hoping that if we get by Tampa, you got Pittsburgh sitting there. But
and that's even
in reality, the Leafs probably aren't going to get by Tampa. So.
No. I mean, right now, like the storybook ending to this season is Bergeron winning the cup and riding off into the sunset.
No, hell no, it's not.
Yes, that is. League-wide, what's a better story right now?
The Canucks.
The Canucks making the playoffs.
No, because that would be shitting on Boudreau, and I'm totally not doing that because the Canucks are a stupid organization.
Sound off, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know how you can leave him behind the bench for that long with that much rumor. It was basically set in stone. Like, why not just fire him? Get rid of him. Put an interim in there.
It's...
Why?
It's a sad...
situation. It was so public.
Yeah, this is so public. Like the NHL's version of giving a guy a 2-week notice. Which,
oh my, yeah.
You don't do in professional sports. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And it totally reminds me, and I'm going to go back to the Leafs because that's the moment that stands in my head right now. Back in the day when Ron Wilson was getting chanted by the Leaf crowd, "Fire Wilson, fire Wilson," what did Burke come out and say? Ryan Burke came out and said, "I can't let him coach another home game after that." Yeah. And he fired him.
Yeah.
Now, it's a little different because the fans were against the coach, whereas in this scenario, the fans are totally on Boudreaux's side. But it's so public, and like the media is like asking Boudreaux about it. He's tearing up before games.
On the bench last night, too.
Yeah, on the bench last night. And yes, like even yesterday, like post-game, oh, yeah, we don't know who's coming and who's going, like for the assistants. Mm-hmm. Like, because there's rumors that Adam Foote and I can't remember the other name that are coming in on the coaching staff as well. There's another guy, and I'm going totally blank. It's another former NHLer, I believe.
I don't know, but it's a joke. It's sad.
It's a complete joke, and the one I actually put it out on Twitter last night because I was like so I felt awful for him last night at the bench. But I said the one question, one reporter better ask at this talk at presser on Monday, if that's who they're hiring, because that's all the signs are pointing to him coming in on Monday.
Yeah.
The one question I'd ask Rutherford, Alvin, and if Aquilini has the balls to show his fucking face at that presser, whose decision was it to keep Boudreaux behind the bench knowing you were going to make a coaching change, and what made you think it was a good idea?
Yeah.
That's the only question I want. And obviously, they probably won't say who and what. Because, and actually, who knows? Rutherford might shoot off at the hip and because he actually gives people information when he talks to the media. Well, so he might, but.
Yeah, they might hide behind saying, he was our coach until yesterday. Yeah. We fired him and we're bringing Tockett. All the rumors, it was rumors. We decided to make the decision today. That's what they're going to say.
And I love the TV networks that have covered their games because anytime a Bruce There It Is chant or they show Boudreaux on the bench, they just pan right up to they just cut to the box.
Yeah,
Rutherford, the assistant GMs there. It's just, and they just look straight faced like, how could you? I don't know.
What it's an absolute shit show. I would love to know the thought process even behind bringing in a new coach right now. Like you literally have one of the best prospect pools of all time in this upcoming draft. Why not just let the team continue to sink? Like the season's gone. It is what it is. You're never getting into the playoffs right now. You're 14 points back.
I think it's going to sink either way. Either way, a new coach. I think this is more talk getting a familiarity with the players in the last half of the season and see who they want to just eliminate.
Is that not what you did with Bruce Boudreaux last season?
But that wasn't an
Alvin hire. That's the problem. Rutherford hired him, but you bring in your GM. Yeah,
you got some real office issues right now. But
like, where is the hierarchy there?
It makes no sense because if you're going to do the same thing with Boudreaux last year, you bring him in to get this familiarity with the team and stuff, and then you can him. Like, obviously, the season's been a disaster, but to just not give the guy any sort of leash.
And if I'm not mistaken, Boudreaux,
bringing in Tockett, it just makes no sense to me. I don't know what you're trying to do here.
Well, a lot of people are saying they need someone to control. They need a personality behind the bench to control JT Miller.
Why don't you trade JT Miller then?
Yeah, like if that's what your problem is.
Yeah, because
like that's what someone said. Like, but shouldn't that be his contract that controls him? Like he just got paid. Okay? You still see him like yesterday, he's on the bench smashing his stick again after the empty net goal. And then it's just funny, you isolate like two guys to his left is Pettersson, and he kind of looks over to him when he breaks his stick and then just looks back to the play. So I don't know if that was just like a total like.
But what's like, I don't
like
know.
You need
I
a hard it. Ass. Like you need a former player hard ass to control JT rather than like an old funny guy. Like you know what I mean? Like that's where I think their thinking is. And again, this is Alvin's hire, which I don't know if is true because we all know Rutherford's calling the shots too, right?
But why do you need? It seems so like childish. Why do you need a coach to come in and control a guy? Like shouldn't the room do that?
Yeah. You know how the rooms are. These divas. Sometimes these divas. You know,
it seems you have, so. It's But like when a new coach comes in, you get that, you get a bump, you get that inevitable push. Like, I think they have Columbus and Chicago on their schedule next week.
Yeah,
like,
coming, yeah.
Those are going to be wins. Like, this move is to improve this season, not to tank, which that's why I agree with you, Anth. Like, okay, I think there's going to be that bump. And, like, for fantasy-wise, like, know that. Like, there's going to be a bump. They're going to play really well for a couple weeks. And then probably they'll sink.
Like, what they should have done
ship bodies out.
Was do, like, the Peter Horvat kind of thing in Toronto, where you get rid of a guy and you put an interim guy in there for a season, and then you bring in someone fresh when...
Yeah, imagine JT Miller with a substitute teacher, though. Then,
He's doing... Well, Boudreaux was the substitute teacher. Yeah. That's the problem. That is the problem. Like, and, like, oh, yeah, he only had a one-year... Like, when he was brought in last year, he only had the 1 year, and then I think he had a coach option, and then the team had an option to bring him back for this year, and they decided to bring him back. It's just like a complete disaster.
Yeah.
Man.
And he's over, like, I think he has like a 550 win percentage or point percentage with this team.
That's crazy. Yeah, you're correct, because he was good last season, right?
He was great last year. I think he went like 28 and 22, 8 and something.
It's true. Their best bet, if you really want to fire Boudreaux, bring in an interim, you know, keep dropping in the standings. Trade JT Miller to a contender at the deadline. And
because don't get me wrong, they just signed Miller, but he could still be a productive player on another team, and he doesn't make, like, I think he just got what? I think it's 8 mil, somewhere around there. That's still doable. Like, it's not like it's a bad contract in my eyes.
No, he's a good player.
Yeah, and I picked anyways. This. I pulled on Mike. I picked this team to win this division.
I had him in my top three. I know that. I had him in my top three because I had all three Canadian teams in the Pacific in the top three.
We'll wear that one. This was unpredictable.
No, Ed, you had Vancouver fourth.
Oh, I think there you maybe go. I was gonna go bold. Maybe I just you know.
Yeah, I had
them I had them making the playoffs. Maybe that was my bold prediction.
I had them second, which was the highest out of everyone.
Oh, wow. So third, this is more on you than it is me.
I had them third, yeah.
It is. But I also had Calgary missing, so...
I told you guys they weren't going to be that high in the division. I knew it.
Who? Yeah, Vancouver?
Vancouver. He's backtracking.
I thought you were talking about Calgary for a second there.
No.
That race is going to be interesting in the West.
It will. And maybe Vancouver jumps back into the picture. But that leads us to the next thing I want to talk about quickly, guys. I mentioned it last week, BetStamp. We have a partnership with them as of last week. Very cool site if you're not aware of it. It's basically, like I said, it's the Trivago of sportsbooks. So if you're playing on sportsbooks, I know it's booming in Ontario right now. I'm sure a lot of the U.S. states where it's legal, same thing as well. There are so many sportsbooks, and if you are playing on them, you're probably line shopping for the best odds on any particular game, prop, whatever you're looking for. You can go onto BetStamp and you could see where you're going to get the best odds across all the sportsbooks. So if you're playing on multiple sportsbooks, that's the way to go. And if you want to get on a lot of sportsbooks, message us on the side and we'll hook you up with free bets on each of the sportsbooks. Have a conversation. Just shoot us a note, Twitter, Instagram. Let us know that you want in on that, and we'll hook you up with BetStamp and getting started on all that. So we're very excited that they're a partner of ours. And like I said, as it relates to the Canucks, there might be some wins on the schedule this week if they bring a new coach in. So look for that this week. I know I'm probably going to be picking the Canucks to win against Chicago. I think Wednesday they play or Tuesday.
They got Tuesday Chicago, Wednesday Seattle, Friday Columbus, and then they go to the
Seattle. Who knows about that one?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Okay, guys, let's talk about the week ahead here quickly. We have your typical schedule this week. Light days Monday, Wednesday. Friday's a little heavier than normal with 8 games, and then super light next
week. Yeah, as opposed to last week or this past week with a 2-game Friday or whatever it was. I hate these fucking imbalanced schedules.
I know. I like. It would be nice if they evened it out a bit, eh?
Like, I'm not asking for 12 or 16 on each day. Like, give us 8. Like, even if it's just something, like.
What bothers me more is when there's like 8 games and then you have 6 of them starting at 7 p.m. and then at 8 p.m. and 9. Like,
the funny thing right now, Brian right now would be like total go on his NHL rant. Doesn't know how to do this. Yeah, doesn't know how to do that.
Insert pissed off Brian here.
Sorry, Eskel. Find one from the previous one and just said, the NHL doesn't know how to market. It doesn't know how to do anything.
No, it's true because... There's many times where I'll just be, you know, I'll have a night where I'll just be sitting on the couch watching, just flipping through Center Ice, and I'll go look at my whatever sports app just to see which games I should turn on, and it's like end first. It's like, well, why are you starting games like at 7, 8? Like, mix it up, make sure you always have games on the go.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Anyway, I jumped the gun going to the week ahead here, but we did have some questions from Instagram that I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
We'll start with a question from Mackie Vellis on Instagram. He says, the Bobrovsky injury is a night worth an ad for the long run. So they've already ruled Bob out for the next 3 games. That's through Tuesday. No idea of if it's going to be longer or if that's like kind of his timetable. I don't know.
Yeah, Knights in the A on a conditioning stint too, but right?
Apparently he's going to be back on Monday.
Oh, okay. Perfect. So,
yes, the short answer is yes. He's worth an ad. Florida's been playing better recently. Florida's actually 7-2-1 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. So I've been sprinkling some bets around, and I've been betting on the Panthers to lose too often, and they keep burning me. So that's...
Ant's home team.
Yeah. Betting on your home team. What the hell?
Yeah, I believe
a little reverse psychology, I think.
Yeah. next question.
It's okay, yes. That one's answered. You're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I figured. It's a yes.
Yeah.
Florida's playing well. I mean, if you're going to get the starting goalie on a team that's playing well, absolutely. Next from Hauling the Mail 29. With Caulfield ruled out for the year, who is the biggest beneficiary fantasy-wise for Habs?
Oh, it's got to be Harvey Pinard, man.
Yeah. The Habs are thin, but, I mean, you're looking... For the biggest beneficiary, you're probably looking to see who's playing with Suzuki. As of last game, it was Josh Anderson and Rem Pytlick. I'm going to just disregard Rem Pytlick, but maybe I shouldn't. I mean, he scored the OT winner. But yeah, I would probably look at Josh Anderson. I think Josh Anderson, they're probably trying to boost his value. He's going to be playing with Suzuki, probably get dealt at the deadline.
Is there any value for a one-dimensional player like Hoffman in this scenario?
I don't know. I mean, you said it. It's very one-dimensional.
But I think, because if I'm not mistaken, I think the broadcast yesterday, last night against the Leafs, pointed out that with Caulfield out, I think he's getting power play time.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
That is a logical sort of boost. You know what I mean? If you look at their best shooter with Caulfield out? Probably Hoffman, no?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? So there's keep an eye on that. I'm not saying go out and add him right now because he's been... No, he's definitely not the same player that he was a few years ago. He dropped off.
I loved Hoffman. There was a time where, man, I would like target that guy in leagues. And now he's just...
Remember when he went to St. Louis, I think? Was it St. Louis he went to?
Yes.
For that 1 year prove it year, I think it was. Yes. And it's just like, we were all... I remember on the preview show that year, we were all like gung ho about him.
That guy needs to be traded at the deadline, man.
He good went from third Ottawa line to shooter. Florida to St. Louis?
I believe so. Yeah. San Jose was in there too.
That's right.
I believe.
No, San Jose.
He might have been traded to San Jose, but never played a game for them, Joe.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think that was the whole... Because I think he's... That was the whole him and Carlson
right.
dust up
with the
with the girlfriends and the wives. Yeah,
shit, that's right. That went away quick. Yeah.
And then he went to San Jose before Carlson did or something.
He's only
played like 33 games this year. So he's been not a regular, right? 15 points in 33 games.
That's terrible.
For Montreal, man, you got to be thinking about like just lose, man. Like give yourself
win. Well, keep winning, boys.
Like, I know. If I'm a Habs fan right now, I know. You know, you're not making the playoffs. Lose. Then
and they're hoping to
try and get like a top four, top three, top four pick, man.
Yeah. And then our last question, but like I said, this one's a comment from Austin Kohler. Austin, this is the guy that gives it to Joe all the time. I love it. Keep it up, Austin.
It's okay. I'm used to it.
Yeah, he said.
Growing up with these schmucks, I'm used to it.
Oh yeah, no one rips on Joe more than we do.
This will bring us into the injuries here, but yeah, he said not a question, but that's probably a career-ending injury for Patches. Incredibly sad. I mean, career injury, we'll see, but I don't know if you guys saw that injury, but just
I'm just confirming it was the same leg, right?
Yes,
it was the same
right
leg.
Achilles
I figured
tendon.
That. Yeah,
yeah, he pulled the old Kevin Durant.
Very. Oh man, that's. First of all, don't compare a hockey player to a basketball player. Don't do that.
That's as good as Durant.
Yeah.
It just sucks because he came back from the Achilles and then he was out with a groin injury and then he came back and then he just hurt the Achilles again.
Yeah, and I was really excited to have him on my team because he looked great
games. Yeah. I have him in another pool that I could have really used him.
Oh, that's just brutal. You draft a guy and it's like, oh, when this guy comes back in 3-4 months, my team is just going to get a boost. Yeah. And then, yeah, so much for that.
Just quickly on that note, before, what do you guys think of, like, Anth, you're not going to drop Pacioretty, are you? If he's out for the season, you're not going to drop him. Just have him on the IR, right?
No, what's the point? Leave him there.
Okay. What are your thoughts on leagues that have IR spots? Now, this happened in my other pool that we only have 3 IR spots. Mm. Caulfield, he got hurt. The guy dropped him. He was instantly picked up by one of the bottom feeders.
Why would the guy drop him?
That's what I mean. Like right now, I still have Pacioretty on my IR. I'm like, why would I give someone a freebie?
That's so stupid. Why wouldn't the guy with Caulfield trade him? Like, trade him for a shitty pick. Do anything.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I was just going to say.
That's
like,
just a dumb decision. That's all that is.
Yeah, that's
like
stupid.
Instantly dropping guys just because they're done for the season. Like, you just keep them on the IR. Even if you're not going to keep them or you can't trade them, just let him sit there. That way he goes back into the draft. Yeah, that way someone doesn't get a freebie.
Yeah, not like don't have... Exactly. It probably wouldn't really matter, but just in case there's a guy that wants to add Pacioretty and then potentially keep him.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but also, Joel, especially in the league where there are only 3 IR spots, if you don't have any room for him,
then
I find it hard to believe there's a better keeper on IR that you...
Exactly. Like, then you trade him.
Then, 100%. But yeah, trade him. Anyway, yeah, keeping with the injury. So Pacioretty, that's a tough one. He's probably done for the year. Caulfield, we spoke about, done for the year. Slavkovsky, not very relevant in fantasy this year, but 3 months.
Montreal's really using Robitaille.
Probably done for the year, yeah. We talked about Bob out through Tuesday is all we know right now. Some minor stuff from Makar, Ovi, Ekblad, Bennett. They all seem very minor.
Your favorite injury-prone Makar is out again.
This guy's taking pregame warm-up, and he's not playing. I don't know, but he should be fine.
Speaking of pregame warm-up, we're not getting into that.
What are you referring to here?
Provy. Oh. Provorov.
Oh, yeah, we don't need to get into
that. We don't need to get into that. That was,
No, but it didn't become a story, really. Like, it did, but it went away. And
not so much an NHL story, but it's gone into other places of society.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, where they're just... I see this headline, NHL player or hockey player does this sort of, you know what I mean? So it's going elsewhere.
Well, yeah.
I think it would be way different if he was coming out publicly and saying crap about...
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't need to be a thing.
It doesn't need to be a thing.
He decided he has the right to do what he wants.
If everyone thought the same way, if everyone thought the same way, we'd all be robots.
Yes.
It's the way to do it. It's the way that you do it.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I would have still had him take warm-ups.
Without the jersey.
Yes, because that's contractually your job.
Well, then you're...
What, singling him out? He kind of already did that, yeah, making the point. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? It didn't matter. And in my eyes, I don't think it matters. If you're going to make out that kind of a point with not going out there, like contractually, and your job says you got to take warm up. You're not preparing for your game properly if you don't take warm up.
Who's right? In charge of, you know, who called it Pride Night? Like, is that the Flyers organization?
Oh, I don't know if that's the league.
Is that
the
NHL
Flyers?
Or the Flyers organization?
I'm not 100% who does that. Probably, I know, though, it's a league initiative and a team initiative, but I don't know if let's say at the beginning of the year the NHL lays out certain nights, or if it's the team that does it. That I don't know. I'm leaning towards team, but I have
no clue.
I
think it's team too. I don't know.
Whoever it is, shame on them.
Well, I don't even want to.
You just don't need to. I know we don't need to get into this,
but it's like, yeah. You want to open the game up to everyone, right?
You want to say hi?
Who's there?
Hi.
Hey!
This is what we're doing.
The guest appearance. Oh, that means Ant has to go.
That's our brother's first appearance on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, all I was going to say is that, where was it? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, like, I think it's good to open up the game to everybody and make, you know, have that like inclusion of everybody to make 1,000% everyone feel like, you know, it's a safe spot. I don't think that's a problem.
Not a, whatever. You know, let's just move on. It's fine. I mean, I think the NHL's moved on. We don't see the headlines anymore in the NHL anyway.
Well, everywhere else we do.
Yeah, that's right. Provorov's jersey, by the way, sold out.
Bestseller.
On NHL.com, bestseller right now.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells you where America stands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Ant saying in the background?
Well, he's right. He said the NHL got the message when they saw that. Let it go.
Yeah, no, and it got let go, and I'm glad it didn't become a bigger thing. I mean, I'm maybe not on social media as much as you guys are, but I personally don't see it anymore beyond like the day after, 2 days after, which I'm happy with. I think that's a good
thing. Had every right to, if that's what he believes.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Yeah. Whew. Away from that.
Joe.
I totally Joe brought up started. The... Yeah, I know. I didn't mean to do it like this deep. I just was going to do it as a throw-in mention, but we went deeper than we thought we were going to go on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly, like week ahead stuff here. It's time to like start looking like ahead. We have the All-Star break coming up, and the week after this coming one is a 2 week long matchup in head-to-head leagues. So just be mindful of that going into this next week. But we have, like I said before, the heavy nights. It's kind of typical. Friday and Thursday, nine games Thursday, 8 games Friday. So it's kind of there's a big 3 days there with Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But anyway, you have Columbus plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. There's Roslovic and Nyquist. Line's finally got it going a little bit here, so which is good to see. So there's Roslovic and Line. Kako on the Rangers. Rangers play Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Kako's 4% owned on the top line with Kreider back. Maybe there's going to be a bump in production there. And then lastly, the Leafs, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, all home games. Great schedule. You got to love it when this happens. But not a lot of options on the Leafs to pick from, right? There's maybe Yarncroc playing on the second line.
That's about it.
But that's about it. And with that, guys, we will call it a show. Some heaviness at the end, but we moved on and we're laughing. We're good.
Yeah, we'll get Brian's comments beginning of the next show.
Watch our numbers just skyrocket knowing Brian's gonna comment on it on the yeah show.
Brian's gonna listen to this hopefully, and he's gonna have some stuff to say. So
okay,
but on that note,
yeah, on that note, guys, we love everybody.
Hugs for everybody.
goalie keeper list next episode too.
Oh, yes. We'll think of that this week.
We'll do that. Guys, yeah, until then, good luck in your pools and your leagues this week, and we will chat next week.
Take care, guys. Good luck.
Bonne note.